Okay. Hello, everyone. This is Alyssa. We have the meeting recording started. Thank you. So here we are all back in to go over the outstanding items that we had from the face-to-face targeting the operational communities. I see that all of these have come in, some of them just in the last few minutes, so very much appreciate everyone's hard work over the last several days. Before we jump in, I should ask, as usual, do we have anyone who is connected to the audio but who is not in the Adobe Connect room today? Okay, sounds like we're all in Adobe Connect, which is great. So I think we should launch right in. I will turn it over to Russ Housley and Alan Barrett, who were the sub-team for slide 2. And I would ask for all of the sub-teams, at least I personally have only just looked at the mails, and I see that you've done a lot of thorough analysis. We will probably be asking you to, in the places where you have said that we need to send a question to an operational community, we will probably be asking you to give a sense of what you think the question should say on the fly a little bit so we can start to get some text for those at least captured in the minutes or the action items so we can work off of that and try to have questions ready shortly. So with that, we'll turn it over to Russ and Alan.
Okay, this is Alan Barrett. I can start. Would it be possible to project the email message that I sent? There we go. Thank you. Okay, so under BWA, clarify that the IETF and the RIRs will contract with ICANN and PPI. I think that's pretty clear, both from the IANA plan proposal and the CRIS team proposal. And it's also been confirmed in a comment from the IAB and in the draft SLA, which the RIRs have put out. Keep losing the ability to scroll in this message. I'm not sure what's wrong there. Okay.
I think we each have individual scroll control. Yeah. Is that correct, Jennifer?
I think it's very difficult to deal with. Okay, now I've got my scroll ability back. That's much better. Okay. So also in our FAQ, we said that the IETF and the RIRs would contract with ICANN, not with GDI. So I think that's clear enough already and that no action is needed from the ICG. Under B2, the contracts from the IETF and the RIRs should clarify that subcontracting is allowed. I think that's done. The existing MOU or SLA from the IETF, silent about subcontracting, and so therefore implicitly it allows it. The draft SLA from the RIRs explicitly says that subcontracting will be allowed with permission, and that permission will not unreasonably be withheld. So I think that covers it. And we also have an entry in the FAQ which says the same thing. So again, on this, I think no action is needed from the ICG. In the B3, the subcontract between ICANN and PTI needs to be worked out during the proposal phase. We think that it's an implementation issue, that it does not need to be worked out during the proposal phase. It can be worked out during implementation. And obviously, any contract would need to satisfy the requirements of the CWG for names and also satisfy the requirements of the IETF and the RIRs for numbers and protocol parameters. So here, too, I think that no action is needed from the ICG. And the B6A proposal should clarify that the IANA function review applies only to names and that the customer standing committee applies only to names. Yes, I think we agree that clarity is needed. And also there's a similar issue with the term IFO or IANA function operator in the names proposal, where we think that they use these terms to refer only to names, but it's not completely clear. So our suggestion is that the ICG should ask the CWG stewardship for confirmation that these terms apply only to names. And once we get an answer, perhaps the FAQ and part zero of the combined proposal can be edited to provide more clarity. Next, B6B. Members and protocol communities do not plan to participate in the IFR or CSC. I think the protocol parameters community has made it clear that they do not intend to participate, but it's less clear for members. I thought that members said something about if they participate, it will only be relating to the .ARPA domain name. I couldn't find a clear email message or other public statement that said that. It's just my vague memory. So I'm proposing some ICG actions to ask CWG whether .ARPA is included in the CSP and IFR processes, and to ask the CRIS team whether the numbers community will participate, and whether the answer depends on the status of .ARPA. And when we get answers, to edit the FAQ and part zero to provide clarity. And as point B6D, complying with IFR recommendations should be mandatory for PTI. I got the impression from the proposal that it's not mandatory, that PTI could fail to comply with recommendations, and if the community feels badly enough about that, they could initiate a situation. But it's not completely clear. So I suggest that the ICG could ask the CWG for clarification on these points. Item B7, there was a comment that says that the NRO is not capable of holding a contract with ICANN. I think the summary is incorrect. The RRs were not mentioned in this context. I think comment 105 said that the NRO is not capable, but that it would be a bad idea for the RRs to take over oversight. On the question of whether the NRO is capable, I think the question is moot because the contract will not be from the NRO. It will be between the five RIRs and ICANN. On the question of whether it's a good idea for the RIRs, I didn't write anything in the summary, but I, again, don't think the ICG needs to take any action. And then the comments right at the bottom of the slide. There was a question about whether text should be included in the ICG proposal, and I think, yes, editing part zero of the combined proposal to provide clarity is probably a good idea, but editing the CRISP proposal would trigger another round of public comment, so I think we should avoid that if possible. So I think that's the end of the report that Russ and I wrote.
Thank you, Alan. I have a few questions, but we have a queue, so very good. Milton, go ahead.
Yes, this is Milton Mueller. I just wanted to ask two questions. One of them is a minor one about B6D, about PTI compliance with IFRs. I was under the impression that the IANA function reviews were things that applied to or bound ICANN rather than PTI itself? Or are you talking more about recommendations for improved practices, or are you talking about separation?
This came out of comment number 105, and it didn't draw that distinction between ICANN and PTI, but it was talking about whether PTI should be required or whether it should be mandatory for the PTI to do what they're told as a result of a review. I don't think that really answers the question. We'd have to read comment 105 and the relevant part of the proposal again for more clarity. But my feeling is that if PTI refuses to do something that comes out of a review, then the community still has recourse to initiate a separation process. So even if you say it's mandatory, they might somehow not do it anyway. Oh, I see a comment in the chat from Russ. It's comment 80, not comment 105. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong part of the document.
Okay, well, maybe we can set that aside, but I guess the question is whether it's ICANN compliance or PTI compliance that matters. And this is kind of a muddy area. But I think the more important question I had was, one of the big policy goals of creating PTI is to separate the IANA functions from the policy functions. And the reason you have so many questions about subcontracting is because in some ways that is perceived as a threat to this separation. So I think the question, you say no action is needed repeatedly on this. Now, there's no question that I think based on your answers, I agree with you that subcontracting is possible under the current arrangements, but it also seems like a refusal to subcontract is possible. So what if we go into the transition basically with PTI being nothing but names? I think this is not consistent with the policy objectives of the whole proposal, and I wonder if that's a problem. In other words, if protocols and numbers are kept inside ICANN and not put into PTI, I think that's a problem with the overall objective of separating the IFO from ICANN. And so I think the questions that you're getting are really concerned about that more than they are about whether, subcontract is actually possible.
Okay, if I could respond to that quickly. Perhaps there's an action for the ICG here to recommend to ICANN that we think that the IANA functions, the three parts of it, should be kept together, and that implies that ICANN should subcontract numbers and protocol parameters to PTI.
Well, it's the recommendation is not so much that they should be together, but that the IANA functions operator should be separate from ICANN proper, the policymaker, and that therefore during this period in which the existing IANA department is still going to be the IANA functions operator, protocols and numbers should make sure that they subcontract to PTI or contract directly to them, as I wish numbers would do, instead of keeping them inside ICANN as a separate unit. Does that distinction make sense?
Yes, okay. I think I hear what you're saying. Maybe we can discuss this later, but there probably is an action for ICG there to who strongly suggest that the three should be put into PGI and not give ICANN the option of keeping part of them out of PGI.
Okay, that's great. I'm sorry I wasn't able to participate in the list discussion. I was too busy with the other stuff. So we can do that on the list, I think.
So, Alan, do you mind if I just jump in here for 1 second? I thought we had a conversation at the face-to-face, which was, I think, sparked by a question from Elise, where the result of that was I took an action to make it more clear in Part Zero that the expectation is that all of the functions will, in terms of the operations and the staff and so forth, will move to the PTI. And that was supposed to be clarified in Part Zero, and I had that text is due on Sunday, and I had started writing a little paragraph about that, where I can also talk about subcontracting just to make it clear in the proposal. So that was going to be my question back to you, Alan, which was for B1 and B2. You say that no action is needed, but I think that action that I took already will end up adding text to Part Zero to clarify this. So that would actually be my suggestion, that we write into the proposal what the diagram sort of already assumes, but that we had failed to articulate in narrative text, which is that the expectation is that all the functions will move to the PTI, and the arrangement between ICANN and the PTI via subcontracting will be made. Okay, Russ says that you assumed my action was already done. Okay.
Thank you. That makes a lot of sense. So we'll change B1 and B2 here from no action needed to text will be added to Part Zero to clarify. And then, Alyssa, you're already busy with that text. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. So my other question was on B6D. If, following on Milton's question, do you feel that we need to go back to the proposal and, well, I guess I will phrase it this way. I think when we write this question, it needs to reference the specific text of the proposal that discusses the IFR and special IFR decisions to the extent that there is text. If there isn't any, then I can understand where the question came from. But I think that if you could pull out the reference in the text, that might help clarify what the question should be per Milton's intervention.
Yes, okay, that sounds fine as well. I guess Russ and I will be asked to draft the question so we can do it at that time.
Great, yeah, for the others of these, it's not, I think, you know, if you have specific references in the text, that's fine, but I didn't think they were completely necessary as they're a little bit more general. But so that does, I think, is there anyone else who has questions or comments for discussion on slide 2? Okay. So the request that I will make to you and that I will later make to the other subteams is if you can provide question text by 20 UTC today, do you think that's workable?
Yes, okay, I can do that.
Okay, thank you. Please send to the list. I mean, some of these, I think you could turn them into questions. They are already almost in the format of the question. They just need a question mark. So appreciate that. Oh, I see Russ is saying no. But Alan says yes. So let's aim for that. You know, send what you have to the list, and we will try to get these turned around, I hope, by, I guess, 24 hours from then, 24 UTC tomorrow, if possible. Okay, let's move on to the slide three theme. Wolf Ulrich, go ahead. Wolf Ulrich, do you have audio?
Hello, Alyssa, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Wolfoli speaking. So we had some exchange in our team since yesterday, and I tried to summarize what we did so far and to solicit some questions, which I circulated some 1 hour ago around that. So with regards to slide three, there were also included items from point B and B6, which we identified have been dealt with, I think, already by Alan and others, so we concentrated on the C and C3 and C4, and there were items and comments regarding, let me say, more or less two categories with regards to the PTI board. One about the board's powers, the PTI board's powers, and connected to that also the question with regards to the limitation of remit of the PTI, and other comments regarding the process as to select the board members and the composition of the board members. So the I think I could summarize. I wouldn't like to go to those detailed comments. I would like to summarize what we did here. That is, that we came out with, or I came up with three questions at the end from that. One is regarding to the board PTI board powers. It is since it is said in the proposal, and there was a clear request well to limit the board powers to the oversight responsibility of the operational oversight of PTI, and that was not when I've looked into the proposal, it was not so clear because on the one hand it was said that the PTI board responsibility should be that it may one could read from the proposal that that the minimum statutorily required responsibilities and powers could refer to the PTI rather than to the PTI board, and which was made a difference with regards to the CITLI documents. So the question here is whether the interpretation is right, that the limitation of the reference to the minimum statutorily required responsibilities and powers should be done to the PTI board. And that is a question with regards to the interpretation. I would suggest then that a related text should be provided by the CWG if that interpretation is correct, and in that case it should be provided some text. As well as there would be good well to have a more, let me say, kind of summarizing text with regards to those minimum statutorily required responsibilities and powers, because some comments were asking that this may be a wide range and it should be more detailed. So that is the question as well. Secondly, with regards to the last responsibility in with regards to the operational issues of PTI, questions were raised. Who is at the last end could be responsible for that? And some were raising the concern that this should be the ICANN board rather than the PTI itself or the PTI board. So in order to avoid ping-ponging of the operational issues between them both. So the allocation of this responsibility should be undoubtedly clear. That is the basic request from the Commons. And in this regard, we suggest that a question to the CWG, whether this is also covered, or this is also the opinion of the CWG, that it should be undoubtedly clear, and then we would ask for a related text. The third question, which is derived from that, from those comments, is with regards to the remit of the PTI and the PTI's board. And there is the question whether the understanding is correct that the PTI should operationally take over the INF functions, the present tasks, one by one, and then should be also limited to these functions. And on the other hand, that the PTI's board obligations just refer to the operations oversight. That was not clear, and that was related to your question as well, Alyssa. It was not clear from some comments because they raised concern that this might be not clear that the PTI's board obligations are just related to the operations oversight. So that would be also a clarifying question, well, to ask the CWG whether this interpretation is correct. Otherwise, if there are other opinions, then they might provide accordingly the text. So the other questions with regards to the board selection process are valid, and they are clear. However, so there is an open question whether this might belong to the implementation phase? Because I have heard also from others, it was discussed already to some extent. The CWG came up with the best solution at the time being, because different requirements have been brought up, but no solution yet. And the only question is whether here, from my point of view, whether ICG should ask for a more specific, let me say, frame of the ideas, framing the ideas with regards to the composition and selection of the board, rather than to ask for a specific procedure right now. So these are the questions which have been solicited from these comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. If people have questions or comments, please get in the queue. Milton, go ahead.
Yes. Some of these questions were discussed extensively by the CWG when we were coming up with the proposal. Now, I was just in the process of digging up the proposal to see maybe they weren't properly reflected in the actually written proposal. But, for example, in terms of the accountability, who has ultimate responsibility, we had huge and long discussions about that. And that's why PTI's board, the majority of it is appointed by ICANN, because some stakeholders thought that they wanted ICANN to have ultimate responsibility. So with the, you know, majority of the PTI board being controlled and accountable to ICANN, the idea was that ICANN would have ultimate responsibility for performance of PTI, but that the board would conduct oversight of the actual, you know, operations of IANA. In terms of the composition of the board, again, this was discussed at length. It was agreed that the board would be small, not large, that it would not try to reproduce the policy community, that there would be two independent directors and three appointed by ICANN. And I thought that this was all pretty clear in the discussions that we had, so I'm not sure why it isn't clear in the proposal. And I think if it is clear in the proposal, we can just say, you know, refer to paragraph XXX. Got the other questions. Safeguards to ensure it remains accountable to the broader. Again, I think that's just a comment that should be. Number two is kind of, I think it has the wrong idea about what PTI is. PTI is a contracted, you know, subsidiary of ICANN, and, you know, its accountability is two things. One, it can be fired, it can lose the contract, and through the ANA functions review. And I think that comment, too, is already basically taken care of. The other thing is that it's, you know, its board is controlled by ICANN. So I think we can make our job a bit simpler with some of these questions by just saying that they are already taken care of in the proposal.
Milton, could you be a little more specific about whether you think any of them are not already taken care of? Obviously, Wolf Ulrich's analysis agrees with you about two, but there's this question on point one, which is making a very specific suggestion about paragraph 1112. And then there's the other two for points three and four and five. So do you think all of them are taken care of, or could you go through them one by one, please?
I think that One is taken care of because that wording, minimum statutorily required responsibilities and powers, was what was intended. I remember that very distinctly.
Well, so the question is whether that was intended to apply to the PTI itself, or as suggested by the edit there, is it intended to apply to the PTI board? That seems to me to be the question, because this is the first paragraph written about the PTI board, and it says the PTI will have a board of directors and have a minimum statutorily required responsibilities and powers. And so, you know, the first part says it will have a board, and then it says it will have the minimum such and such. And so the question is that meant to apply to the board, or is that meant to apply to the PTI as a whole?
I think it was the former, definitely. The board would have the minimum, because it was conceived as a California nonprofit public benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that recommendation has some specific legal substance, although I don't recall exactly what that is, or where that phrase came from. But probably somebody should look this up.
This is Wolf Ulrich. Well, this is from exactly the wording from 11.12, which I draw here. And this is, you know, this is, it came down. So I also saw this is according to the laws and according to the advice from Sidley, it must refer to the board, PTI board, rather than to the PTI itself. So this question should be clarified. So whether
okay.
This under...
Okay, so you just put the word who in there, and I think that's fine, yeah. Okay,
so then Milton, could you speak to the ones that he has listed for 3 and 4/5? Do you feel there are questions to be asked, or there are not questions to be asked?
I'm having trouble scrolling. Yeah, I think that the proposal, criteria for board member selection, other than that two of them are independent, there was no specification. So it might be worth asking CWD a question as to whether it wants to give further guidance on that. As long as, you know, able to grasp and attend to any public interest or human rights concerns that the board might face, that's policy, and that's not what IANA should be doing. So where did that come from? Is that from a comment that somebody said that IANA should be doing human rights or public interest?
I didn't see that in this relation, roughly speaking.
In your text for number 4, you say criteria for board member selection to be established, e.g. professional knowledge, geographical balance, community representation, conflict of interest, gender balance, able to grasp and attend to any public interest, blah, blah.
Okay, yes, I remember. There was one comment, yeah. I don't know exactly which one, but there was one comment with this, mentioning this, yes.
Okay, so I think...
But I think that the independent director selection...
You're okay with the course of action suggested, essentially. Basically, what you were saying is that you for point 2 here, you agree that no action is required. For point 1, you agree with the suggestion to ask for the edit of the who edit. And then for the others, you agree that we could at least, you know, ask the CWG if they want to provide further clarification.
In order to avoid having the CWG go through the same debate it already had on the criteria for board member selection, I would add the proviso that, taking into account the neutrality and implementation role of IANA and the non-policy-making role or something like that, what do you want to specify any criteria?
Okay. Thanks. Yari, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I think I'm where you guys now ended up with discussion with Milton. I just wanted to up level slightly and say that from the comments that I read, I think all address issues that have been adequately discussed in the working group during the process. So I would characterize these as, not bringing up completely new things that must be addressed, but rather requests for further clarification or further details. And there was one case that I thought was interesting in one of the comments was the ping pong between the PPI and ICANN boards. And there were a couple of comments who suggested that selecting ICANN board members instead of the directors might be a useful thing to do. But again, this should be clearly phrased in terms of you've done your job at the CWG, but here's some additional consideration from the comments. Do you want to add more detail to your proposal because of this? And the other thing is that I don't think we should directly carry proposals from individual comments, like, put these criteria. If you look at the set of comments, you actually get different proposals. They all relate to how does the board get selected. And I think that's the comment, not to make a suggestion that please add something to deal with public interest or human rights, which I personally think is not right at all because, again, this is not policy, this is implementation. Thank you.
Thank you, Yari. Martin, I had seen you in the queue, but now your hand is down. Did you want to speak?
I did, but I think all my points were answered by Milton, so I lowered my hand accordingly.
Okay, thank you. Wolf Ulrich, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Well, I agree with Yari. Well, not to go into those details. My question here was rather than whether we should at all file a question with regards to board's composition and the procedure to elect the board, because this is here the it seems to be a task for the implementation of the criteria, to set up criteria for board members and to set up the election procedure. So I would like to avoid to file so specific questions or make suggestions to that. Rather than there was the idea and the question whether we should ask for a kind of framing in more detail as it is already done upon the discussion within the CWG. But I draw from the discussion right now that it was discussed to several times there, and then it's the question why we should file a question at all. So if we are of the opinion that it's an implementation issue, then my suggestion would be not to file any question with regards to those points. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. So it sounds like where we are coming to is on the point about on the sort of specific thing in paragraph 1112, we ask the question about this one little text change. And that is, you know, a specific question. You know, this came up in the comments. Do you accept this change? On board member selection, I think what I am hearing is what Wolf Ulrich just said as well, which is that even though we received many comments about it, we also are very aware that this was discussed at length, and it's known to be an implementation detail. And so, there is some framing in the proposal itself about what the qualifications of the board members need to be. So we actually need not send anything at all related to that. That's kind of what I was hearing, I think, from the last few speakers. And then the question about the sort of ping-ponging and the separation of obligations between the boards and so forth, we can, again, point the CWG to the fact that we received these questions and tell them that if they want to provide further clarification, that would be welcome, but it's up to them. Am I getting that right? Those would be our sort of three takeaways from this, and the second one, it has no action associated with it.
So if I may, it was really speaking. So if that is the common view, then I will adapt the question I already drafted accordingly, and then it around today after the call.
Any objections to that? Martin, go ahead.
Thank you, Alyssa. Martin Boyle here. Not an objection to that at all, but I just wanted to seek a bit of clarification. Will we at some stage be collecting together those areas where we've decided not to take any further action to report them back so that those people who submitted comments know what we've done with the comments and why we have done it?
So I think the summary document would be a good place for that. You agree? I think that was one of the motivations for writing the summary document in the first place. Go ahead.
Sorry, that's fine by me. It's just that if we do, then, for example, on 2 in this one, the broader community as well as the operational communities represented in the CWG and so on, I would actually note that we have got the IANA functions review, and it was the IANA functions review point which brings in the broader community oversight into the process. So I think that particular commenter has sort of rather either narrowed down the range of activities assuming that multi-stakeholder needs to be at every level in the process. And I think we have discussions on both of those in the CWG. Thank you.
Sorry, I was talking. I was on mute. we will assign actions for the summary document offline on the mailing list. I think the action from this one is Wolf Ulrich will circulate text for the questions associated with slide 3 before 20 UTC today. And I think my only other request is, again, if you can specifically reference the parts of the proposal that are relevant in your question, I think that will be helpful. So let's move on to slide four five group, and I will turn it over to Martin.
Thank you very much, Alyssa. My involvement in this has been severely limited by travel time and other obligations, but I think that I was still the only person on our group who has put anything in on this, and I've only had an opportunity to look at the slide with D1 on it. I think the email I sent round, and sorry for copying it to the rest of the group quite so late, hasn't had any discussion, so the thoughts at the moment are entirely mine. I think the, one of the issues I ran against was the fact that we have got here a PTI that will be the IANA functions operator for the names community and the subcontracted IANA functions operator for the numbers and protocol parameters communities. And as a result, it seemed to me that we probably, for a number of the comments that were received, need to address the communities separately with questions, because the questions are different depending on whether they're going to the CWG or to all of the all of the operational communities. The first, the general point under D was that more clarity was needed about the escalation process prior to separation. When I looked into this, because I thought that the basic process was defined and reasonably clearly defined for the CWG, it appeared to me that there were two things that people were asking for. One was quite a lot of clarity or almost trigger points that would allow a separation process to be started. And the other one was associated with the fact that we have got a process for the names community to replace the PTI with another operator, but of course it is possible for the numbers or protocol parameters to replace ICANN with another operator, and I'm not sure I've got the information that allows me to respond on that. It's because of the sort of wide range for that sort of general comment, it seemed to me that we should turn or could turn to the CWG with recognizing that there are mechanisms for issue resolution and an escalation path for any separation process that was related to issues of operational significance, and that would go through an independent IANA functions review team, an outer sequence one. And so that all seems to be quite well defined. What perhaps is less well defined is that then once the escalation has been initiated, how the separation review team will be formed, and there is an annex on this. Again, I thought it was reasonably clear, and that's why I would suggest that we really just flag that and allow or invite the CWG to look and see whether they think more detail is needed at this stage. For the other operational communities, I think that we're looking at what their own escalation processes would be if they decided to replace ICANN by a new operator. Therefore, again, I think it's an invitation simply for them to consider whether they believe clarification is appropriate at this stage. I think it might be worthwhile me just pausing here and see whether there are, yes, I see there are already two people with their hands up in the room. And so we deal with each of these points separately. So can I refer back to you, Alyssa, for inviting people on?
Sure. Go ahead, Yari.
Yeah, so I just want to comment this question for the moment from the point of view of the other two OCs. And I would actually argue that the escalation process has been a significant topic of discussion in these communities. Just for the case of IETF, for instance, it doesn't just go on during this transition process, but even before, I remember seeing proposals similar to the one in the ICANN board contribution, for instance, dating back 2 or 3 years. And all of this was basically clearly dismissed. So if you look at the actual IETF proposal, for instance, it does, if you search for the word dispute, there's quite a lot of material about how things get escalated. From the operational, practical level to the ISG, and then at the level of IAOC or IAB, and then there's final dispute resolution. And any additional detail or any additional steps or process would actually be harmful to our ability to make sure that the process is accountable and running well. And that's been a clear opinion in the community. So I, for one, do not think it would be worthwhile to ask about this, but I do recognize there's been several people asking for details, and I did not have time to check what our Part Zero does, but maybe this is one of those cases where the ICT could lift some material and sort of better explain and highlight at the beginning what the thinking and what the process. Yes, and I would certainly support that edit.
Thanks, Yari. Milton.
I agree with what Yari just said, and I actually also think it's true of the names proposal, that if there's anything questionable about the names proposal, it's that it's process is so specified and so elaborate that it is almost ridiculous. The I think the idea about specifying particular criteria that would lead to a separation is actually wrong-headed, that if you have all these oversight committees ranging from the CSC and the IANA function reviews and the special IANA function reviews, and these people want to separate, it's up to them why they want to separate. It could be, you know, any reason, and by specifying something, you would simply give, you would eliminate options for the community to hold the IANA functions operator accountable. There's so much of a status quo bias built into the system that specifying particular criteria for separation, it would just be adding another one to the hurdles that have to be mounted. And I think after two or three processes, if the community decides they want to separate, we have to trust their judgment at that point that maybe that's a good idea. I'm just not sure. I think a lot of the comments, this is my second point, but a lot of the comments that did talk about separation were concerned specifically about the different communities going separate ways. And I wonder if Martin gets to this later in his comments, or is that not something that gets discussed here?
Thanks, Milton. I think that is basically the next point. So let's just finish the queue on this, and then we'll move on. Alan.
This is Alan Barrett. In the draft SLA from the numbers community, from the RIRs, there's a section on dispute resolution. The essence of it is we'll start with a consensual resolution. We try to discuss things out. Then we move on to arbitration. And I think there might be another step. I don't have the document in front of me right now. But I think the numbers community would be reluctant to put any more details on criteria. My personal feeling, this is not the official view of anybody else, is that if there's a need to change the operator to cease using ICANN as the IANA numbering services operator, that'll be such a unusual, unforeseen event. It's unreasonable to write down the details of how we'll do it. I think we need to leave that for the time when it's necessary, if it ever is necessary, because it won't be.
Okay, thank you, Alan. I think, as I just put in the chat, what it sounds like to me is necessary here is for there to be some, it sounds like all of this is specified already in the separate parts of the proposal, and for clarity's sake, based on the fact that we clearly have commenters who are wondering about this, we can add some overview text to part zero that essentially points to the sections in each of the community proposals. That would be my suggestion for what we do here. Milton? Okay. Milton's out of the queue. Okay. So I think that's the action from this. We will figure out after the call who has that action. Martin, please continue. And we are going to run a little short on time. I definitely want to get to our other questions about the RZM and the CCPLDs that we have text for. So please move quickly.
Thank you very much, Alyssa. Yes, and certainly I agree with that output from the general comments, and in particular, I was conscious about the dangers of trying to set standards or triggers, particularly for an unlikely and probably unseen event. under 1A, there was a comment that I think is not quite accurately categorized in the slide. It is more about whether, if there were an emergency action, there could or should be an accelerated process. And a little bit associated with that was that one commenter identified that part of the separation process should be to carry out a high-level risk assessment, and that that should include the financial impacts of changing the operator. Now, I actually think that probably in the case of A, there is a there is a possibility of a need for urgent action, and that that urgent action probably would preclude the action that is advocated in B. Meanwhile, if it's not desperately urgent, I have a certain sympathy with the line outlined in B that you should be getting wider implications associated with the transfer. However, I think that that probably is something that is the role of the separation working group, community working group, SCWG, to work out. My simple proposal there was that we go back to the operational communities and ask them whether, if they agree with this suggestion, could they send a verbatim text. And I noticed that where I say with this suggestion, I probably really meant with these suggestions, and we deal with 1A and 1B at the same time. So I pass the floor back for any input on either of those points.
Anyone have comments on that?
It's looking like people are reasonably happy with that as a line. So then on to 1C, with the separation coordination process, and this got quite a number of comments in, therefore it does seem to me that we probably need to go back to the operational communities and invite them to consider cooperation or at least information exchange of some sort with the other operational communities. And there's been an exchange on list on this in the short time that I, since I put the email around this morning, and I'm quite happy with the solution that's been put forward by an exchange between Daniel and Patrick. Agree to establish and that we go out to each community and simply ask them whether they would be willing to agree to establish some form of cooperation. If you agree to include this in your submission, please send us verbatim text rather than going out to all three and asking them to coordinate. So again, I pass the floor to any comments.
So I have a comment on that, which is that I think I agree generally with the thrust of the suggestion. I think if we're going to send this query out to all three communities, and it really is kind of across cost-cutting issue, my suggestion would be that we send them, we ask them if they agree to establish whatever it is, a coordination or cooperation mechanism. I don't have the exact words in front of me. But rather than asking them to each separately send us verbatim text, that we then just reflect that agreement in part zero, essentially. Because, I mean, what will we do with three different versions of verbatim text that all say the same thing? I think it will make more sense if we ask if they agree, and when they, and, you know, we ask them precisely what they are agreeing to, and then we just reflect part zero that the three communities have indicated that they agree to establish a coordination mechanism in the event of a separation. Or, you know, we can work out the precise words on the list, which we will need to do very quickly, but that would be my suggestion.
Thank you, Alyssa. Yes, I hadn't read on to the end of the paragraph. I think you're perfectly right that so long as they all agree that exchanging information between them is a good idea, then we can put that in zero. So with that, I would move on to 1D, which is concern over the expanded GAC role in the separation working group. And the way I read this particular comment is that it could have wider implications, frankly, I think both the CWG and the CCWG have discussed this material at length. There is no clear conclusion on it at the moment. I do actually have a bit of hesitation about reopening it, so very tentatively put forward the "we would be grateful for your confirmation that the wider implication of this have been considered by." It feels a little bit impudent of us, so I'm happy for that to be no further action. I thought I would at least flag it and allow people to object or support. Thank you.
Any comments on this one? Anyone think that we do need to do something here? Milton, go ahead.
Yes, I think it's good to simply call attention to this comment. It's good to note the dependency on the CCWG, which is actively debating this issue. And so in some ways, simply flagging it and asking for this confirmation that Martin suggests, I think it's a good idea. It doesn't take a lot of effort or require a lot of response.
Okay. No other objections, so I think we'll take that on board. Martin?
Okay. Yeah, okay, thank you. My impudence remains in place, I take it, from what Milton just said. The last one, 1E, and that was certainly as far as I got in the analysis, is entirely associated with the RIRs and that they must establish a dispute resolution process. I'm not aware of where that particular proposal lies, and so I would defer to anybody from the RIR community to respond. Thank you, Alan.
Go ahead, Alan. I think you were just telling us about the deceiver.
This is Alan. I just pasted the URL into the chat for the draft SLA from the RIRs to ICANN. It's unlikely that this will be the final contract. We are negotiating with ICANN, but the dissolution section is likely to remain in a similar form to what you see there. So I think it's sufficiently detailed and clear.
Thanks, Alan. I think that's right on. Okay. So, Martin, are there other – did you make it all the way through the slides 4 and 5, or are there outstanding points that you didn't get to?
I'm afraid I didn't get through slide 5 at all, so points 2 to 6.
Okay. Does this subteam for slides 4 and 5 have a plan to get to those today?
If we do, I am not aware of it.
Okay. I'm not actually finding the slides. Who else is even on this subteam? The people who are making jokes in the chat. Well, Milton, you are on the subteam. So what we need is someone who has time to do this on very short order for slide 5. Is there anyone on the call who is willing to look at slide 5 and make recommendations about ICG action? Martin, thank you. Just do as much as you can, and the chairs will try to pick up the rest, although, again, today seems to be just a bad day for everyone. So that's fine. We will hopefully, Martin, just send whatever you have before your close of business today, and we will try to get a resolution on slide 5 on the list. So thank you. And now let's move on. We have 10 minutes left, and we need to look at the questions for the CWG from about the RZM and the CCTLDs. So here. Can people see the text? Okay, I cannot see the chat window anymore because I'm sharing my screen. Oh, there we go. Okay, you can see it. I see the chat window. Okay, so let's skip the preamble. This is the body of the two questions that Milton had authored. I tried to bring the most up-to-date version, I think, is what's in here, but I apologize if it's not entirely up-to-date. So we'd like to come to a final conclusion here on this text. Milton, do you have anything to say about it, or should we just ask for comments or questions? Go ahead, Russ, Mundy. Russ, if you are speaking, we cannot hear you. Can we work on Russ Mundy's audio? I mean, I can't hear him. Russ, go ahead. You should be unmuted now. Okay. Unfortunately, it seems that we're having trouble with Russ's audio. If you can type your thoughts into the chat, Russ, that's the alternative, I guess. Does anyone else have intent to comment on this? Okay, Russ says he's fine with the second item. Okay, so the suggestion is we need to include the URL to the ICANN VeriSign proposal, which we can certainly do. Okay, so I think maybe, Russ, the best thing to do, especially since you don't have audio, you already sent text about this. Okay. So I will look at what you sent and incorporate it into this document, and it sounds like we have some other questions that we will be incorporating for the CWG anyway. So that will go back out to the list shortly for everyone's review. Okay. And Milton had the question about the bracket. So I think when we had the exchange with the CWG about the INIPR, they indicated that the brackets meant placeholder text that was not actually agreed by the group. So I think that's probably what the brackets mean in this case as well. Okay. So we will finalize this, all of this on the list later today, hopefully to get this sent out tomorrow. Moving down to the CCTLD language provided by Martin, you've seen this on the list. Milton, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. The sound went out for a while, and yes, on the brackets, I wondered whether the brackets were there because that was a dependency on what the actual CCWG proposal was, in that it references members. Or was there actually a disagreement within the group? In other words, was it brackets, the group saying, we don't know exactly what the CCWG is going to propose yet, whether they have members or not, so we're bracketing this, or are there people who actually think that this change should not be approved by members. Anybody who was involved in those discussions, which I was not,
doesn't look like anyone has a firm idea necessarily, but I think in any event, your question will get us what we need as far as an answer. So if we could move down, I know people are having trouble with the audio and we are almost at time, but I wanted to see if there are any further comments about the CCTLD questions, or if people feel like these are ready to go. And Martin, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. No, it was about the previous issue, because I've just checked up on Annex S, and Annex S was the term sheet produced by legal counsel, and I think that was just a placeholder put in by the advisors, so I think it would be quite reasonable to go back and ask CWG for their further thoughts on that. I have no comments apart from being quite happy with the various modifications that have come in on the text that I provided. Thank you.
Okay. Any further items to raise on the CCTLD text? Otherwise, we will consider it done. I actually realize that in what I'm projecting now, I'm missing one of my own editorial suggestions, but I will add that. Okay. So could we, Secretariat, show, I will stop sharing my screen, if we could just show the action items in a moment once we think that they're done. So everyone else, just bear with us for 1 second. Okay, we're working on the action items, so just give us one more second. We just want to, since some of them have deadlines today, want to make sure that we can, that people know what they're supposed to do. Okay, actually I didn't even get all of these on there, but that's okay. We'll pick through them and we'll make sure that we send the complete list to the mailing list. So Alan has agreed to write up OC questions based on slide 2 by 20 UTC today. Wolf Ulrich is going to write up the questions based on slide 3 today. Martin would said he would send his analysis about slide 5 today as well. And then I or someone who will figure out will add the Part Zero text about escalation and the bigger picture concerning the PTI. I will also start incorporating the questions that came out of Martin's analysis that we have already agreed to into this this document for the CWG. I think you know the questions that we will be sending to the CWG, and I will send that back around. I think the question is, because we haven't done the slide 5 analysis, it may be a few more days, potentially, before we actually finalize the questions to the CWG, so or at least another 2 days, perhaps, depending on how quickly people look at their email. So, but we have some questions that are ready for the CWG, so we could send them in two batches, or we could wait and send them all at once. If people have a preference about whether we send the CWG questions that are ready today, or whether we should wait. Martin says two batches because there's a CWG call tomorrow. Okay. Does anyone object to sending two batches? Okay. So let's do this. The ones where we have clear agreement by 20 UTC today, I will send to the CWG with an indication that there are more coming. And that includes, like, if the RZM question one is not ready, we won't send it. And then we'll send another set when they are ready, hopefully before the end of the week. Anything else from anyone? We're 5 minutes over.